Namgya Kona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gents, boys and girls, to the podcast that is here to inspire you to be more entrepreneurial. Namgya Kona. Because if it is going to be, it's up to me. And today we've got an exciting guest, which I can't wait to introduce you with, but before we even get there, I want to remind you guys to please like this video if you are enjoying it or if you've learned something, and comment if you can on YouTube what inspired you at the end of this. Once you've seen is Sibongile Mungadi, who is an innovator and entrepreneur. And myself, your host, is welcoming you all and welcomes you too, Sibongile. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome, and greetings to all your viewers and your listeners.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks. I mean, it's great to have you here.
It's always a pleasure.
Because you are, an entrepreneur and an innovator, and also a founder of Ukuhamba, which is a company that 3D prints prosthetics for amputees and disabled people in South Africa, which is, I think, an innovation solving a problem that's very close to you. But I mean, how are you doing? Where did this idea come from? Why are we calling you an innovator?
Okay. Just to add from what you said, indeed I serve as a founder of a startup company called Ukuhamba. Ukuhamba is actually an African word meaning mobility in English. And our motto actually says giving you a hand. You know, and how I actually started this Ukuhamba, it was through a personal experience where I actually met an amputee, and an amputee was not able to access a prosthetic limbs in one of the health facilities in the south of Johannesburg. And for me, my understanding, if one has to consider himself or herself an entrepreneur, it means that you are able to identify the problem and come up with a solution. So where you see there's a problem, I mean, there's a gap, then you are able to also come up with an opportunity.
Sure.
So that's how I actually started this Ukuhamba.
So what was the problem there, if I can tell you? Like, what is the problem that you saw, and how did you see it as a solution?
Okay, it's for one, like an amputee was there in the hospital, and an amputee was not able to access this prosthetic limbs. And when I actually had to literally put myself in an amputee's shoes to say that, yes, currently or today it might not be me, but what if it could be me or one of my loved ones? You know, then that's where I was like, okay, let me just for a minute put myself in his shoes and actually try to understand what is it. You know, and then I was able to do so. And then the amputee was not able to access a prosthetic limbs, where I was able to ask, for how long have you been waiting for this prosthetic limbs? And then the amputee was saying, it's more than 4 years of me being on the waiting list. And every time I'll be told story after another and whatnot. Then I was like, on that day, I was fortunate enough to also, you know, speak to the orthopedic surgeon who was also willing to help.
So the surgeon in the hospital, you went and so you saw the amputee.
Yes.
And then you say, okay, let me also go speak to the surgeon.
Yes, to understand what exactly, what's the cause of this. And I was fortunate enough where he actually took me to the workshop where they actually produced this. And then that's where I actually understood the traditional method of doing this and what's the problem that they're also faced with as a hospital on its own.
Yes. And then that's where you saw. So you saw amputee waiting for 4 years. Coming to the hospital, to the company.
Yes, because like my understanding is that when I'm ill or one of your loved ones not feeling well, when we go to the hospital, we need to get that health care. But little I knew that I also have a neighbor close by who's also faced with the very same problem,
same,
you know. And when I actually now try to engage with this other MPT of my neighbor, then I found out that the same story relates. It's the same thing. The problem is that these prosthetics are not easily accessible, and also they're very expensive. So that's the other thing. But now with the public sector, the MPTs are able to access these for free. But now we have lack of skills in that field. So that's how I actually...
So that was then the problem. And then you started the company to make these for many of these people that aren't getting served.
Yes.
Wow. And you know what's also very cool is when you said even before this this business, even manje during COVID, you are innovating.
Yes.
And maybe you know not everyone knows what is innovating, but you said that you during 2018 there was the water crisis in Cape Town. You were called in as well. To be part of the problem solvers, to be part of the innovators.
Yes.
And your profile, of course, you've won, you know, multiple accolades and awards for this innovation, and it's changing people's lives. You know, there's also pitches that you've gone and pitched to, like at the SA Innovation Summit,
yes,
about this innovation to,
yes,
to investors. And so there's something in you that is all about innovation. You want to solve problems. You see it. You want to solve it. Where did this come from? Why is it? Why are you like this?
I've always been the child who would always question things. You know, if maybe you would tell me that tomorrow we should wear black shoes, but I'll always question you to say, why should we even wear black shoes? Even others would even disagree and say, yes, let's wear black. But I'll always be that odd one to ask, why should we wear black shoes? You know, so that's where my innovation or the love of innovation came from there. So apparently by then, I did not understand it because I was still a child. But I was always this one child who would always question things. But now, As one grows, that's where I actually start. When I sit and reflect, that's where now I start to understand that, oh, this thing has always been in me. You know, I've always been this child. You know, that's why even now in this thing of entrepreneurship, I'm able to disrupt things, you know, because even if someone would, when I actually started this Uguhamba, when I said, you know, sometimes you would have the idea and you would want to pitch to the investors or potential partners to say, this is what you want to do and whatnot. And then sometimes you would meet people that would be like discouraging and tell you this cannot be done and whatnot. So I also encounter such things, you know. And then for me, it was like, okay, for the fact you said it cannot be done, but I'm going to prove you wrong, you know. I'm going to do it, you know. So that's why, like, I'm that kind of person. So that's where the love of innovation comes from.
It's very interesting that you mentioned confidence because, you know, confidence is an important part, right? When you're facing failure, when you're facing rejection, even when you go into an industry that you don't know.
Yes.
Because there isn't a course or a degree on how to start prosthetic 3D printing.
Exactly.
So you had the confidence to go, no, I can actually learn to do this or do this.
Yes.
I'm going to collect the partners. I'm going to connect with investors. And you said it started when you were young.
Yes.
Because you were challenging things and you were getting involved.
Yes.
What drove you to get involved and where did that mindset come from? Because I don't think, of course, not everyone questions everything and wants to get involved in everything. Do you think that's something, you know, like when did that start? What's the earliest that you saw that and where would it come from?
Okay, I think back then when I was still a child, I also did not understand it. But also I was fortunate enough because like I was raised by both self-employed parents and uneducated parents. But one thing that I actually love about my parents that they've always been supportive parents throughout my journey till today, you know. Every now when one looks back and say, okay, I know now in the absence of my late dad, but if somehow, for some reason, if my dad was still alive, I know even today maybe he would be here with me, you know. So that's how I actually grew up there with that support at home. So back then, yes, I did not understand it, but I was just that child who would be, you can say problematic if you have to put it that way, you know. But I was just like that. But to be honest, I think that from my upbringing, for the fact that my parents also supported me throughout, so that's how one was able to actually grow this confidence. Hence, even today, I can tell you, you can tell me something that cannot be done, it's fine. But when I go home, I'll make sure that I'll work through it throughout the night if I have to, you know, just to get it right.
Having someone who supports you and says you can, who believes in you. You said that's something that was important for you, and that's what your parents do. Are there other people that you know gave that to you that remind you when you think about why you're an innovator and why you're disrupting industries that come to mind?
Yes. Like I said, yes, my parents were very supportive until today. And then, like now, yes, now I do have other people that are also out of family that are also very much supportive. I would also like encourage every young person out there who or she's starting this journey of entrepreneurship, because it's not an easy one, but to actually look out for a mentor, you know, someone who would feel like you're so much safe and someone who can like withdraw inspiration from and learn from, you know. So with me on that space, I was at first, I remember when I actually I was still not sure, trying to figure it out in terms of entrepreneurship and whatnot in 2016. And then I had the likes of Mrs. Mapifo Anna Frimpongo, the CEO of TITA.
Okay.
Yes.
TITA and, is?
Transport Education or Training Authority.
Transport Education Training Authority. Yes. So you identified, she approached you, you approached her. How did that happen?
I remember there was one of the conference that was held in the Vaal, and she was one of the speakers. And Ms. Tammy Ngubeni from News Africa Room was also part of the speakers. Then I actually had to ask her, can we actually exchange contact number? Then she actually gave me her business card. And then from there, I was able to actually be in communication with her. Then I remember the first thing that one did, I was like, okay, I'm just going to get straight to the point. And I was like, can you please kindly mentor me, you know? And then...
So you called her. Did you guys have a meeting? How did that happen? Because I know, like, young people, even, you know, even me, I made that mistake. How to build a mentorship relationship and to approach, you know, to have that confidence. So, like, how did you do it? Did you call? Did you meet up? You know, what was going through your head when you were trying to meet and get their contact details?
Okay. Just to answer you, I was also very scared. Because like I've tried this more than once. It was not the first time me approaching someone and asking the person to be my mentor, you know.
Okay.
So what happened, it was like, okay, saying like this week, that's where I got the business card from my people. But what happened is like 2 weeks after, then I was like, okay, let me make use of this contact, you know. Then that's where I started to do. And I looked at this business card. I was not sure what to do. I was nervous, thinking that maybe she would reject my call or saying that she's busy and whatnot. So what I actually did, I was like, okay, I'm not going to call. I'm just going to do a WhatsApp text, you know. But in that WhatsApp text, I actually drafted everything that I wanted to say, like on a piece of paper. Then I was able to, like, you know, edit everything on the WhatsApp. And I made it to look like formal as much as it can be, you know. Then I sent it to her via WhatsApp. And then for a minute, I saw her logging on. And then I saw that it's written online. Then the next... offline, then I was like, this one.
I messed it up.
That was it, you know. But to be honest, little I knew that she was actually still in the meeting, you know. And then after 45 minutes or an hour, she actually got back to me. She replied and she apologized to say that, sure about that, I was still in the meeting, you know, sharing a meeting and all that. And your message is well received and noted. Yes, I will, you know, I will mentor you. For a minute, I thought, no, she's just kidding. Mm-hmm. I had to actually ask again. Then she was like, yes, I will, you know. And then, sorry about that. Then that's where I actually started this thing of mentorship. And for that fact that she's one of the people that are in the high position, you know, executive of a company, then that's where I was able to actually try to learn from her, especially in the leadership qualities and those kind of things. So that's what I actually started the journey with Mema Pifo. And then from the mentorship, then I also started to say that for the fact like now I'm finding my confidence, you know, in this game, then I actually started an initiative in my area, in my township in Soweto, that was called Soweto Young Women Empowerment. So then Mrs. Mapifo was so much involved in that. So what would actually do, I actually wanted, like I was creating a path for other young female leaders to actually come and rise, let them also have these platforms, share their stories. And so that's what I was doing in 2016 and 2017.
And so that's not, in a way, I think that's social innovation, you know, in a way, but that's not necessarily, you know, what people think of as being entrepreneurial. You know, people don't think that is connected to entrepreneurship when you create a path and a platform to empower your community. And I mean, the support, I want to get back to that, but I'm also curious why you decided to start that. You know, why was it important for you to create that platform?
For the fact that, honestly, apart from my parents as well, like, I also did not have someone close by whom I can actually look up to and withdraw my inspiration from, apart from my parents, you know. So I felt that if I'm also experiencing this, then clearly there is also other label, other Sibonge out there that are also experiencing this, you know. So how about that? I'm not saying like I'm where I want to be or I have all the capabilities, but let me also try to actually create this platform. Let's come together, you know, let's learn from each other, let's empower each other, and let's be role model to others, you know. So that's how this whole thing
but
is started.
Why you want to empower others? Because other people are working on themselves, other people are getting ahead on themselves, not everyone. And I think, you know, for some people it can sound like a silly question. Of course, you must help each other.
Yes.
And maybe it sounds like that for you. But for some people, I think, you know, it's not automatic, you know, for people to feel that way. And these things aren't being created all the time. It's innovators and people that care about the community. But for you, why? Where did it come from, Oguti, when I win? I mustn't win alone. Or when I progress in life, I can't progress alone.
No.
Some people pull each other down, but
yes,
you pulling others up, why is it important?
For me, it is important because, like I said, like, I come from a family of 8 siblings, you know, and including my parents, I come from a family of 10. So my parents, at a very young age, they taught us how to share. So when you come from school, when you find a 2 slices of bread, you need to, like, don't forget there's also other siblings that haven't eaten. So you need to share that, you know. So it has to do with my upbringing and also my humble beginnings, you know. And then my, like I said, I'm from a family of Zulu and Pedi. So my late dad would always say, so that's how I was actually raised till today.
Which means if you don't have anything, don't leave someone or don't look down on someone who's below you.
Exactly.
For powerful. So you had this amazing parents, but also what's very important that you were saying is you studied maths and science.
Yes.
These are skills that are allowing you to disrupt industries,
yes,
be innovative, and in a way, 21st century skills. You know, these aren't these are core skills to become to be able to solve problems,
yes,
which is becoming entrepreneurial. What kind of skills would you say are important as an innovator?
You know, my safe space, it has always been science, you know. Then that's where I am currently. But also, just to add, or just to provoke you on what you are just saying now, it's this. I don't think at times your educational background has a lot to do with who you're becoming. Because, for example, I don't have any medical background. But today I'm in a space of biotechnology and healthcare manufacturing.
If you were to look back to 2005, 2008, whenever the 16-year-old you, and you are in high school now, and you want to tell the 16-year-old you some one thing that you in your journey have gone through now and have learned, what would you want to advise to the 16-year-old you for their future?
Here's the story of my life. When I was actually at high school, I actually had another sister who was like 2 grades, if not mistaken, ahead of me. And she's known as Dumazile Ngwenya. So what would happen at school, every year there will be like announcing the top achievers at school. And this human will always be on that list, you know, for second place. And I still remember this one day, I was like, okay, hi. And then she was like, hi. Then I was like, I don't know you, but I just heard when Mrs. Cooper and Mr. Saul and them, they're calling you, is your name Dumazile? Then she was like, yes. And I was like, okay, I think you are my role model, you know. And then she laughed and said, thank you. But I was like, okay, I just want to know, like, how do you do it? like every year, every term, you are on that list of top achievers, you know. So the lesson that till today that I actually took from her, it's that there are no shortcuts in life, you know. Everything that you do, always put in the work. So with me, whatever that I've achieved by far, it's all through my hard work, you know. And she has always been that a person with a positive impact, saying that always put in the work and trust the process. So this would be my words to young people out there. Let's put in the work and trust the process.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much, Swaggy. I think one of the things that really came out for me is that you aren't afraid to ask for help.
Exactly. But if one door closes, it does not literally mean that you need to stop. I mean, for me, like I've said it earlier on, I've asked several people, you know, to actually walk the journey with me, to mentor me. And by then I was like, no one had that interest to actually mentor me until today where I am, you know, where. So that's for me, if someone has actually given me that opportunity, I still feel it's also relevant for me to actually do it for the next person.
And then that's why you help to pull up others.
Yes.
Beautiful. So what are you going to be remembered for? You know, what will be the thing that people say at your funeral? I think that's a very powerful perspective, and to know that everything we do impacts, and it's important.
Exactly.
It impacts someone somewhere.
Yes.
So however we decide to live our life, it's going to impact someone somewhere. And no matter who you are, where you are from, what you do is important.
Yes.
And you can make a change. So thank you so much for inspiring us today.
Thank you so much.
And let us know what was important for you, what inspired for you from our guest today, because we want to know that you can too, and let us know what you want to do. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Fantastic.
Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Namgiyakhona.